You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, amid a swirl of media speculation and rumours, the Prime Minister made the unprecedented move of initiating a vote of confidence in himself, with the aim of clearing the air and dispelling the notion that he had lost the support of his caucus. Yesterday, the Prime Minister announced that he had succeeded in the anonymous ballot, although he refrained from revealing the exact numbers. We've seen a variety of reactions from other political leaders, with Labour leader Chris Hipkins insisting that the votes should be released, and New Zealand First leader Winston Peters describing the whole thing as a strategic error on the Prime Minister's part. This morning, I spoke to Michael Swanson, a research fellow at the University of Otago, about the political implications of this vote. We also got into a conversation about the rising popularity of New Zealand First and talked about the future of that party beyond the leadership of Winston Peters. Now, it's certainly not unprecedented in New Zealand politics to see a change in leadership in the lead-up to an election. Jacinda Ardern, lest we forget, became Labour leader just 7 weeks ahead of the 2017 election, which ultimately led to Labour coming to power. But historically, when the incumbent Prime Minister is replaced ahead of an election, it usually doesn't bode too well, Chris Hipkins and Bill English being relevant examples from the last decade. So do you think the Prime Minister's decision to initiate a vote of confidence in himself was potentially a risky move for National during an election? Yeah, look,
I tend to agree with Winston Peters on this. I think any time you call for a vote on your own leadership, it's not exactly a sort of inspirational move. What people really want to see is kind of someone who's in control, someone who has a real grip on things and can be really clear and direct, both with their own party and looking out. And I think this only raises more questions in that space. So it's probably a very risky move, let's put it that way.
After announcing the results, the Prime Minister refused to take questions and said that he would refuse to engage in any more speculation and rumour. He says that he now considers the matter closed. Do you think that a successful vote in the party caucus will put to rest the concerns about Luxon's leadership among the public, or is confidence in the Prime Minister still shaky?
I think, for the most part, the public actually just want to know who's Prime Minister and get on with it. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are probably sitting there going, this is very much Wellington issues, squabbling within a party. What they really want to know is, what are you going to do for them? How are you going to make their lives better? And all of this kind of infighting just detracts from a lot of what voters really want people to focus on. So the Prime Minister is right when he says, you know, we should be focusing on what matters to New Zealanders. But at the same time, there is a flip side to it where people just want stability and they want to know that you're in control and they want to know that you know what you are doing. So there's a bit of a tension there. I think for the most part, though, your average voter is not overly interested in this. They're kind of in that mode of, come back to me when you've figured out what you're doing so I can make a decision about who I'm going to vote for in November. What it does do is raise that question of, well, actually, what is National doing? What are they up to? What do they stand for? How are they communicating with us? So there are some bigger issues there around some fragility around National that will have voters sort of questioning, are they the party that I want to give my vote to if they can't even organise themselves? They may very well be able to organise themselves and get back to some kind of normality, but it does have these lingering questions in the background.
So it sounds like you largely agree with the Prime Minister, who described the whole situation as a media soap opera, basically implying that the situation has been blown out of proportion by journalists looking for a good story. The Prime Minister also seemed to imply that the internal power struggles of the National Party are not particularly interesting to the general public. So do you agree with the Prime Minister that this issue is mostly a media concoction? And do you think that the way journalists sometimes report on these issues using words like coup potentially catastrophizes what is ultimately quite a mundane political process?
Look, I have characterised these sorts of things as that press gallery bubble that they operate in. So sometimes the press gallery and those in that sort of really, you know, sort of beltway Wellington bubble kind of space get so fixated on something like this that they forget about some of the other issues that are going on. So, you know, I talked to a few people yesterday. I'm in Dunedin, and I talked to a few people down here, and they sort of went, what's happening? I'm not quite sure. So they weren't even really that interested. They sort of said, come back to me when there's actually something to talk about. So there's almost a fixation by press gallery reporters on these sorts of things rather than the core issues that matter. And there are some big things happening at the moment that matter to a lot of people that just aren't getting the airtime they need to.
Okay, so on Winston Peters' comments, he described the vote as a very bad move on the Prime Minister's part, ominously warning Luxon that the next time he faces a vote on his leadership, it will not be initiated by him. Peters said recently that in the present era of politics, displaying stable, consistent leadership is absolutely crucial to winning elections. And it's worth noting that since the New Zealand First Party was founded back in 1993, National has cycled through 10 different leaders. Meanwhile, New Zealand First has had exactly one, namely Winston Peters. Could his remarkable political longevity be one of the factors explaining this polling trend we've seen recently of a steady drop in support for National in favour of New Zealand First?
I think there's probably two factors in that. The first is that, you know, Winston Peters set up New Zealand First sort of in the shadow of himself rather than the other way around. National has been this long-standing brand in New Zealand politics going back to the mid-1930s. So they've created sort of party and then had leaders, whereas New Zealand First almost did it the other way around. They had a leader and then created a party. So it's a slightly different way of looking at things. So he has a lot more control and a lot more onus over what happens. Whereas for National, it's more about the party structure and how that works. So it's a far more complex kind of beast. When it comes to the sort of transition between what we're seeing in the polls, I think you can sort of see there's a broader issue in global politics at the moment with centre-right parties struggling to maintain a grip on things and losing out to more populist right parties. And part of that is because people are looking for something different. They're looking for something, that hasn't really had the limelight before. So you just have to look at Australia with the Liberals fading and One Nation coming into the spotlight. And the same in the UK with the Conservatives having a bit of a fade out and the Reform Party coming in. And you're seeing a very similar sort of pattern here, although what you've already acknowledged is that Winston Peters has been doing this a very long time. It's a very long game he has played. And to be honest, this is the best chance he has at becoming that strong forefront of the centre-right. I don't know if he'll get a better chance. He certainly hasn't had one before this.
So you seem to be saying that the appeal of New Zealand First as a party is really dependent on Peters himself as a singular person. Is that right?
To a degree, yes. Of course, he's sort of built a number of others around him. You just got to look at Shane Jones, and of course, in the last week, recruiting former All Black captain Tane Randall. So he's been smart about who he's brought in around him, but at the same time, he has ensured that it is him who is at the centre. A lot of the decision-making processes in New Zealand First have the leader as the final sign-off, whereas that is not necessarily the way it works in a lot of the other parties. It's far more based on either their party members, their party president, their council, their board, whatever you want to call it. Whereas New Zealand First has managed to have it established around the sort of the personality of Winston Peters. And for a lot of people, that is the draw card. He is seen as this kind of common sense, no rubbish kind of leader who talks about the way it is and the way it should be. And at the moment, that seems to be resonating. That kind of direct approach to what people are thinking and feeling seems to be resonating with an increasing chunk of the population.
Do you think there's a certain parallel there with President Trump? He's also described as a right-wing populist and, you know, seems to be in charge of a version of the Republican Party that's really built around his personality. But a lot of people now wonder what's going to happen to the Republican Party in America with Trump gone. How are they going to find a replacement when so much of the momentum behind the party seems to be built around this one figure?
Yeah, to a degree, although, of course, Winston Peters has been at this for a lot longer than Donald Trump. In fact, you could almost say it's the other way around, that Donald Trump is more of a Winston Peters kind of style personality figure. Of course, they are quite different personalities. I think that needs to be sort of spelt out. They are quite different personalities in the way that they approach things, but they share that similarity in the sort of the cult of personality and the direct approach to politics that they take. In terms of kind of the future of the Republicans, if you know, with or without Trump, it's a very similar question for New Zealand First. What is the future of New Zealand First without Winston Peters? He is not getting any younger. You know, he is 80-odd, and that is, you know, very much twilight of any political career. So the question for New Zealand First is what comes next? Is it Shane Jones? And would he have the same kind of cult of personality? Would he have the same kind of ability to control the narrative? I'm not sure he does. I'm not sure he has quite the strength of following that Winston Peters does. So there's a real question mark there for Winston Peters and for New Zealand First about, well, if they don't succeed in becoming sort of the forefront centre-right party now, what does the future look like? And I'm not so sure it's as rosy as some might imagine.
That was Michael Swanson, research fellow at the University of Otago.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.